Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst, from swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guesthouse overlooking the Pacific Ocean. The Foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to support the conservation and restoration of Hearst Castle while offering youth programs for underserved students. Discover how you can become a member by going to foundation@hearstcastle.com and learn how you can support this unique and invaluable mission.
I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from Fort Hunter Liggett, and we're here with the base commander, Colonel Lisa Lamb. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, welcome back.
Thank you. We were talking earlier about Memorial Day.
Yes.
What comes to mind when you hear that word?
You know, the number one thing I think of when I think of Memorial Day is a scripture in the Bible, John chapter 15, verse 13. And that is that greater love knows no one than he who will lay down his life for his friends. And so as I think back on scripture and soldiers, to me that's the epitome of a U.S. Army soldier, the fact that they'll make the ultimate sacrifice and lay down their lives. And so I think Memorial Day, as well as every day, is a great opportunity to thank a soldier and think of those who have given the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom.
And you probably have had some close to home people that you served with that paid the ultimate sacrifice.
Absolutely. So not by name, but a number of soldiers that have passed on, whether it was in Afghanistan or Iraq. But yes, absolutely, serving side by side with some service members that didn't make it home.
And so you remember those fondly and closely, don't
mm-hmm.
you?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And how about that one-off, your time being stationed in Europe, going to World War II cemeteries? That's poignant.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And having an opportunity to visit those places, I can actually speak to going to Pearl Harbor.
Wow.
And so when I was stationed over in Hawaii, you know, we did the Pearl Harbor tour and had the opportunity just to pay our respect mm-hmm. to those who lost their lives.
And Pearl Harbor is just so poignant because it's that blindsided, mm-hmm. that Sabbath Sunday.
Absolutely.
When everybody's
absolutely.
Relaxing.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
the whole world changed forever.
We were all shook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's roll back in Lisa Lamb's life. When did you sign up for the military and why?
I was a junior in high school when I signed up for the Air Force. To be quite honest, I had thoughts of escaping Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, but I also wanted to do something that was bigger than myself. So I joined the Air Force. And
were you ROTC? Or?
I was ROTC in the Army many years later, but mm-hmm. I was enlisted in the Air Force right out of high school. Went and did my 4 years in the Air Force. And
what was your career field?
I started off with a guaranteed job in Intel. I went into Intel. I did the tech school. Didn't do so well in the tech school. Wasn't really good at a lot of the curriculum there. And so I had an opportunity to reclass to supply. Oh. So logistics has been my life for many, many years.
And we've talked about logistics. You shut down logistics and you shut down the war.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. We see that going on in some various conflicts,
mm-hmm.
how important logistics is.
Well, they talk about beans and bullets.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you got out of the Air Force or did you do a lateral?
I got out of the Air Force. I did my 4 year mm-hmm. commitment and then went to college and did ROTC, Army ROTC.
Uh-huh.
And had an opportunity to commission in the Army. And as a funny story, they're called a PMS, Professor of Military Science, that was over the college program, the ROTC program at my university. He approached me, he saw me on campus and involved in a lot of different activities and said, "Hey, you seem to be really involved on campus. You should join the military." And I said, sir, I just came out of the military. I was in the Air Force. And he said, oh, well, if you do this Army ROTC program, I can guarantee I'll get you back in the Air Force with an Air Force commission. Well, you see what's on my chest now. U.S. Army. Sometimes our recruiters tell us things that might not necessarily be correct, but it has served me well, and I'm just absolutely blessed and honored that I've had an opportunity to have such an amazing career in the Army.
And you've got to see the world, haven't
Absolutely.
You?
Absolutely, and taken my daughters and my husband. We've traveled the world in the Army, so it's been a great career.
And I know before you came here, you were one of the heads of the AFRA Command in Stuttgart?
I worked directly for the COCOM commander. I served as his staff, SJS.
Africa is an under-the-radar continent.
It is.
That is so huge.
It is.
I mean, it swallows up America.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can fit a couple of continents inside of that one.
But it is potentially a powder keg in some ways, in some places.
Yeah, there are some challenging places over there on the continent.
And and we have troops stationed there now.
Absolutely, and troops that are helping with different missions and just helping Africans with African challenges. So supporting the troops there.
Mm-hmm. And then we do some greater good missions you don't hear about.
Absolutely.
The guys putting in water systems.
And, all over.
Basic infrastructure.
All over the world. Actually, when I was stationed out in Hawaii last, we participated in the Philippines in what's called Balikatan, and that means shoulder to shoulder in Tagalog. But Balikatan is one of the many missions of the Pacific that we go out every year and help the community there in some, you know, like you said, just some various missions that we do there over in the Philippines as well as other places on in the world.
And primarily when you were stationed in Hawaii, what were you involved with?
I served with three different commands the last time I was in Hawaii. I served with the 9th MSC. It's the Army Reserve Missions Support Command there in the Pacific. And I was a logistics officer for the 9th MSC. And then I served with the 196th Infantry Brigade. Mm-hmm. And we did training and were part of the train-up.
Was that Schofield?
A lot of the training happened on Schofield for the Hawaii National Guard soldiers that would go over to the Philippines and train. So we would get them ready for their deployment to the Philippines. And then I also worked for the 311th Signal Command, and I served as their G37, which was training and force management.
And then didn't I meet your brother, the Colonel?
Yes.
And he
did.
Does he still live in Hawaii?
He does still live in Hawaii, and he is Deacon Raymond Lamb now, retired colonel, and still serving the Pacific out there in a different capacity.
Were you two ever stationed at the same time, same place?
No, we didn't get an opportunity to be stationed together.
Mm-hmm. The next question is, next few days is change of command.
Yeah, coming up quick.
Yeah, we both kind of, wait a minute, 2 years?
It's been 2 years.
Yeah.
Can you believe it?
No. So what's next for Lisa Lamb?
So what's next is I will PCS back to Hawaii, and I'm taking a position with United States Army Pacific Command, and I will serve as the next AREC director. It's the Army Reserve Engagement Cell director, and the job that I will take on is helping the Army Reserve and USERPAC, filling some gaps with Army Reserve units that can come over and participate in the Pacific exercises. And so that's going to be a great opportunity to kind of be the connective tissue between the Army Reserve Command and USERPAC. So I'm looking forward to that.
No boring days.
No, no. No rest for the weary, is that what they say?
Yeah. Every day something new and different.
Something different.
So you'll be on Oahu?
I'll be back on Oahu, yes.
Living on base, or do you know where
you're? No, we'll probably move back to our home there.
Oh, luckily you have a home already.
Exactly. Yeah. So we'll move back home.
Mm-hmm. Looking back over your last 2 years of command of Fort Hunter Liggett, What first comes to mind, the positive thing that you're proud of, your the number one, number two accomplished?
That's a great question. And as I look back, I think back to when we had this conversation and I was only in command for a couple of days. And you asked me, what was I planning to accomplish? What were my goals for command? Mm-hmm. And I told you it was to take care of people. That was my number one priority. Coming out of COVID and all of the things that had happened over the last couple of years, I just wanted to do a lot more outreach, get out in the community, take down the proverbial gate mm-hmm. around our installation, and really marry up our installation with the local community. And I think we did that. I'm really proud of getting out in the community, having more community engagements. We started some community events called Spring Fest or Fall Fest. We do a big community fair twice a year right out by the tank mm-hmm. where Holon and Mission Road meet so that no one has to worry about getting vetted to come on the installation. We've done so many things out in the community that I'm really excited about and proud of. But right here on the installation, some of the things we've done for those who live, work, and train here at Fort Hunter Liggett, we opened up a 24-hour micro market. We have a little gas station, and we had an abandoned building there. It just seemed like a great opportunity to help out the soldiers and some of the families who, you know, if you forgot something or you need a bite to eat late and everything's closed here because, you know, we roll up the sidewalks here at Fort Hunter Liggett around 6 p.m., 1800 hours. And so instead of driving 30 minutes to King City or an hour to Paso Robles, we've got a little micro market here.
Oh, that's
so
great.
So you'll have to go by and take a look at that. We opened that in my first few months here.
Oh, cool.
Which was really great. We still have the PX, and the PX is about to go through a little bit of a renovation and add some things for the community. We've also had a number of facelifts on our barracks. We did a project for our housing where we've done some roofing on our housing. We also, at our fitness center, we just cut the ribbon on a brand new combatives room, so that'll help with trainees who come out and need to do some combatives work. So a lot of great things here on the garrison. Some of our energy projects I talked about in the beginning, we started breaking ground on our second phase of our microgrid.
So you're going towards carbon neutral, aren't you?
Absolutely. We are 80% propane here, and we've done that over the last few years. We've also started to change over our non-tactical vehicle fleet to electric vehicles.
I saw all these charging stations.
And we have 6 new charging stations on the garrison, and those are level 2 stations, but we should get some level 2 and level 3 hard charging stations in the next few months, and just a lot of great movement towards decarbonization.
So looking forward, there's that day coming pretty soon where all the maintenance and permanent vehicles will be electric, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's a goal of the Army for 2030. So we're moving in that direction.
Who would guess that the Army and the military are trendsetter leaders in carbon neutral?
Well, I'll tell you, Tom, the Army has been a trendsetter for so many things in our nation.
Yeah.
You know, if you just go back through history, equal pay for women, all of the things, integrating our forces. The Army has led the way in so many areas, so I am not surprised. We have our Army climate strategy that hit the streets last year, and we are moving full force in that direction.
Okay, I hate to end on a negative, but 2 years, is there one thing that you hoped to accomplish that you're still struggling with?
I'm not sure if you're tracking. We had some issues with our water infrastructure back last August, and I would have loved to have seen us do a overhaul of that water infrastructure because it's more than 80 years old.
Wow.
I mean, we've done great things, but it's not exactly where I'd like to have left it.
So you inherited William Randolph
yes, water system. Yes, and he did a great job with this place, but I think we're past the life cycle replacement time frame for our water infrastructure. to end on a happier note, I have been absolutely blessed to have had this command. And I'll tell you the reason why. I have teammates here that go above and beyond. No matter what the challenges are, we have personnel here on this garrison who will work day and night to ensure that the mission never fails. Whether it was through pandemic, water outages, power outages, network outages, you name it. Everyone from our PAO team to our Directorate of Public Works to our training team and DPTMS to our human resources team, all of them, our resource management, everybody on this garrison works together and pulls together, and I just got to lead a dream team. And I can't tell you what a blessing it's been in my life to watch the professionals here just continue to move the ball forward and make our garrison better for those who live, work, and train here. So I'm just really blessed that I had this opportunity.
That's what I call true unsung heroes.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's exactly who they are.
Colonel Lisa Lamb, thank you so much.
This Absolutely.
Is wonderful to reconnect.
Absolutely. So good to see you in uniform.
I'm so proud.
Yes. Yeah.
We've been visiting with Colonel Lisa Lamb, Base Commander, Fort Hunter Liggett. I'm your host, Tom Wilmer.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst, from swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guesthouse overlooking the Pacific Ocean. The Foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to support the conservation and restoration of Hearst Castle while offering youth programs for underserved students, preserving the past and inspiring future generations of dreamers. These children experience a world of science, technology, engineering, art, and math at Hearst Castle, STEAM, along with studying the legacy of Julia Morgan, one of the most important women in the history of engineering and architecture. The Foundation at Hearst Castle not only changes the lives of children, but also provides lifetime memories and unrivaled experiences for our generous donors and members. Discover how you can become a member by going to foundationathearstcastle.com and learn how you can support this unique and invaluable mission. You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer. Please support your local NPR station.